Public Works, Public Safety, Wednesday, March 4th. The time is about 5:21. We have a nice full table. Luke, can we just go around the room and we'll call the meeting to order and let's state who's here. I am Andrew Plowman.
Sean Christensen.
Audrey Nelson.
Kelsey Del Basque.
Rob Umgarn.
Jim Felt.
Ryan Grunner.
Fernando Alvarado.
Julie Osmus.
Thank you very much. First, is anybody here for general public comment? Or are you going to hold for hockey?
I'm here to talk about West Central Hockey whenever you want to do that. Yep.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you. Discussion items. I'm under the understanding that we are going to pull the tree trimming policy and we're going to reschedule that for future agenda.
Yeah, April 8th. That's my fault. I failed to call the gentleman that wants to attend the meeting to invite him. So.
Well, it is kind of you.
My bad.
In the interest of that individual wanting to attend, that we will adjust that for that individual.
And so I left it in the agenda because I didn't, well, partly because I didn't realize until I got reminded today, and also so that you have the policy in front of you more recent than we looked at this policy in September and chose, the council chose not to change anything. We've been asked to look at it again, so.
Okay.
It's in front of you again.
Well, being that it's a change, we will remove it from this agenda. So sticking with the agenda, let's hit our public safety updates first. Chief Felt, give us a brief, if you may.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. In front of you is are the monthly calls for service statistics for the month of February for the police department. And looking at those compared to last year, we are ahead for the month of February compared to 2019. Overall for the year, right now we are 253 calls ahead of the same time last year. For the police department, we averaged between 50 and 55 calls per day, so that puts us about 5 days ahead of 2019. Looking through the statistics there, just a few items of note. 911 hang-ups were up. I don't have a reason for that. Noted that assaults were up from 14. They're 14 this year compared to 6 last year. When I pulled those, it looks like the majority of them happened in facilities like the jail, MHU at the hospital, the community behavioral health hospital, and Prairie Lake. So it was inside facilities like that where assaults were reported and not in the general public. Crashes were down. Part of that could be that February weather was overall a little bit better than February of last year. And also when you look further down the list, our traffic stops were up this year compared to last because we have a few more staff that are now trained out there doing that. And we often do see a correlation that the more traffic stops, the fewer crashes. So, gun permits were up. Part of that is every election year, I notice a jump in gun permits that are given out just with some of the political talk that goes on. Also, we have two gun shows in the area coming up in March and April, so that could be part of it too. People are looking ahead and getting their permits up to date. The missing persons were up. Again, those were mainly from facilities like Woodland Centers, Prairie Lakes, and things like that, and not the general public are missing from homes and that type of thing. Motorist assists were down. I don't have a reason why on there other than the weather might have been a little bit better and not stopping for people in the ditches and having to deal with that. Suspicious people and were up, and looking through that, no clear answer on that, but I found one notable call that was kind of interesting. They got a suspicious vehicle call of some people in the Bethesda parking lot. What they found out is that they were arguing over the mess in the car. They decided to pull over to a safe place, clean up the mess in the Bethesda parking lot, and argue about it there. They did that. It just so happened to be the woman in the vehicle was chewing the man out, noticed that he fell asleep while she was chewing him out, which led to a continued argument, which was bad enough that somebody called in about it. So word to the wise that if you're being corrected on something, don't fall asleep.
Good point.
But those are kind of a few items of note there in looking through it, and available for any questions that you have.
Questions from the committee. Mr. Alvarado.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Neighborhood disturbance, what are we talking about there?
Neighborhood disturbances would generally be like loud music complaints, or if it's not coded as an animal call, it could be like a barking dog, or sometimes a zoning complaint for garbage or something could be put in that category too.
Okay.
Ms. Osmus.
Okay, now I apologize because I missed, I was not present for the last one, and I'm trying to find the statistic, but I remember seeing it for the city council report. Last month there was, maybe you guys discussed it, but abandoned vehicles.
Oh.
Did you guys talk about that? It was like 40 or 50 higher considerably.
Yeah.
So
he did have an explanation for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't at the last one either, so Sean presented it for me, but
apparently not good enough.
Part of that was that there was enough recent snow that it became more obvious on the vehicles that hadn't been moved, and our community service officer staff was out there. That was one of their main assignments, is to try and get those cars taken care of.
So we're calling those abandoned.
Yes,
got
correct.
It. That makes sense. Okay.
Any other questions from the committee? Chief, just one question of mine.
Yep.
Just an update on staffing, where we're at. I noticed that traffic stops is up slightly. Does that have anything to do with staffing?
I believe it does. And right now, at last year, we were at a deficit of 5 at one point because we had one officer went to the schools, and we received authorization to replace, but just the timing, it took a while to do that. We had one officer that moved to the cities, two officers that retired, and one officer that retired because of medical reasons. So since that time, we have two that have been hired and fully trained in that are on their own right now. We have two that are currently in field training and should be getting done with that the end of March. And then we have one open spot yet. The Police Commission, Civil Service Commission met. They decided also that the existing list that we had that was exhausted, and to avoid that list and start the hiring process, application process over. So we did that. That ended the end of February. We had 19 applications, which is a very low number. Looking through them, that does appear to be some good candidates. There are actually three candidates in there that have law enforcement experience from other departments. So we're hopeful that things will work out well. Of those 19, we're going to be doing the written tests this month, interviews next month, and then hopefully by the time backgrounds are done or so, could maybe get them started by June or July for their 4 months of field training then. So.
Okay. So we were at a deficit of 5. We're down to a deficit of 1.
Yep. As soon as we've got two that are still in training that still can't operate alone, but they're very close.
Up and coming.
And yep. So once they're out on their own, then we'll be down 1.
Okay.
And fingers crossed.
Then the process will continue, and pretty soon we should be back to where we need to be.
Hopefully. I've got two officers that are talking about retiring in 2021. So then, you know, we'll deal with it when that time comes, whenever they submit anything officially.
Well, it's good to stay ahead of the curve if we know that's coming. Then, yeah. All we can do is the best we can do. Further questions from the committee? Okay. With that, I thank you for coming tonight, Chief Felt, and submitting this. If you have other places to be, you are free to go there.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Too. All right, and on to our action items tonight. Would you like to keep the order of these all the same?
Well, unless you want to move the West Central Hockey up.
I was thinking,
since Jason's here.
I was thinking we could do that if there wasn't a reason not to. Are there any objections to moving the West Central Hockey item up to the first on the agenda so that Jason can do what he needs to and then leave? Without objection, let's go ahead and jump into the West Central Hockey Summer Ice Agreement. Mr. Christensen.
Yes, I think Rob will
actually
probably do.
I'll take this one.
Mr. Baumgarten, I forget you're down there.
Right. No problem. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about summer ice and the agreement that we have in place. Would like to get approved. I got Jason here from West Central Hockey, so you can ask him some questions about the summer ice and the programming that they'll be having. In the past, we haven't had summer ice in Wilmer for about 9 years. And when they did do it, the Wilmer Hockey Boosters ran it. They would pay a certain flat fee amount that the old arena manager, Kevin Mattson, would put out there. And then they would program the ice with girls hockey, squirt practices, et cetera, et cetera. So now with the upgrades that we received here recently with the refrigeration and HVAC system, we can look at having summer ice again. We had a small trial period last year when the refrigeration system was completed to make sure that the building could handle it. It would be in the Blue Line Arena where we have more of the locker rooms and the viewing area for people to sit up top and try to stay warm during the summer months. So what this really does is it gives us a chance to be able to add more programming, and it really benefits the community because in the past, everyone would have to drive to Alexandria or to St. Cloud to get their ice time. And so we created an RFP and sent it out to all the ice users that use our facilities right now. And two proposals came back, city staff reviewed them, and we brought it to the Park and Rec Board about with our recommendation, and it was the recommendation from staff and the Park and Rec to work with West Central Hockey for the summer ice agreement. What we learned last year about with the utilities was it's steep. It gets to be about $8,000 a month to run the utilities over in that facility. And we estimated that it would be about 5.5 hours a day that they would be using that facility after, you know, we basically said after 3:30 because we have our staff there as well. But that's what the majority of when the programming would happen is in the afternoon and evening. So we estimated that out at about $16 an hour for the Zamboni driver to be there. So that's where we came up with an estimated total of about $31,000 to run summer ice from June, July, and through August. Part of it with the August is because, you know, I think that Jason would like to say we would like to take the ice off in August, but we would have to turn right back around and put it back on with the Warhawks coming into town because they would have to have ice ready by September 1. So part of that would be that, you know, the ice would have to stay on in August because just of the cost of taking ice off, putting the paint back down and the lines and everything, that would be an additional cost. So we would just have it all on. We've talked to the curlers about it as well because they would have to put their lines and circles in and everything ahead of time, which is probably good for them because they get really strapped when we have to start putting it in August because a lot of people are gone. So they're on board with getting their circles and lines and everything put in. So if Jason wants to talk a little bit about the programming, I know that we have a good relationship going on right now. They're working with our high school coaches, which really help us out with our youth program as well, because there's that correlation and collaboration that we use with our MITE program and our mini MITEs and our Learn to Skate that the high school coaches come out and help. So, and they're going to be using them as well as far as the programming goes. So it's a win-win for hockey in the community. So I think it would be greatly appreciated where people don't have to run out of town to go get something when we can offer it here. I know they're going to be working with other communities as well as far as getting the ice used up. So we're really covered from the city aspect as far as getting the utilities and the staffing covered with this agreement.
Fantastic. Jason, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
After Rob's introduction, anything you want to add to that before
we jump into discussion? Yeah, so sure, I can talk for a few minutes. I'm open to any questions. That'll be fantastic. So Matt and I have both been volunteers with Wilmer Hockey for a little over a decade with our kids and then with other people's kids too. We stayed around doing, like he said, there's the rec program at the younger ages. So basically your pre-K through third grade kids are all in a rec program when they're in hockey right now.
That's my kid.
Yep. Plowman kids are there.
Yeah.
And so that's something that the rec program has partnered with a group of volunteers like Matt and I for a long, long time, and that's been there for 20 some years, I would say. And so what we found is that as summer ice was coming up on board, Matt and I were talking to the Travel Hockey Association. We talked to the Booster Club, and nobody was really jumping on like, let's do some big summer stuff. And I'm not a person who is going to drive with my kids to St. Cloud to go do a hockey practice. That's just, I have 4 children, a wife, a house, and that's just not my wheelhouse to say I'm going to go to hockey practice for 6 hours in the summer. I have a boat, and I'm going to put it on a lake because I moved to Wilmer. And so that just wasn't there. So Matt and I got together and said, well, should we just do a thing? Let's get together, let's partner up, let's call Rob, let's work out a deal where we can rent the 6 weeks of ice that we're going to try on, and let's see what we can do. So we did it. We had 197 kids out there. That would be pre-K through 12th grade. We thought that was really successful. We were happy about that. We did a couple of small partnerships where we had a goalie camp come out, and that Rob kind of worked out. There were a few little partnerships. We worked the Diamond Edge, got the figure skaters out there. You know, we made the phone calls we could quick in a couple months. We got people out there. Went out this year with having, you know, right after next summer, we look forward to, okay, there's ice coming up probably next summer. What do we do? So we've got even more collaboration going with more people, and we're having things pop up all the time. So like Rob said, we should be able to keep keep the ice pretty busy all summer. We've got the same kind of basic program we did expanded, so we're expecting to see those 200 kids. We have met a lot and continue to talk to the high school coaches, to both of them say, because they kind of start the whole process. We meet them and say, what do you need? And then we put them on the calendar. We say, okay, let's talk. We talk to the girls first, and we talk to the boys, plug them all in. Okay, now how do we take kids and plug them in that? Then we talk to Andy Polzine, who works for the city. He's a big hockey guy. He likes the adult league. So we talk to Andy. We're like, Andy, can you get together 4 hockey teams of adults? So he's working on that right now to see if he can find, you know, enough adults to come and play sometime this summer too. Probably some evening would be my guess. That's normally when they want to play. So we've got we've got other groups. There's a group in town called Soda Elite. They run some traveling hockey teams during the summer. They're going to come and do some tournaments on the ice. They're going to have their practices there. Diamond Edge Figure Skating's meeting is tomorrow. They're going to get back to me with what ice they want to rent. So our real mission has been to find a spot for everybody who wants one on the ice, and to keep people out of Alexandria and St. Cloud and those, and go into the cities, because we can do most of that here. And there's really no reason we should be sending our kids to St. Cloud, because like I said, you're going for an hour-long hockey practice and you shoot 6 hours, 5 hours, because you're going to the MAC or you're going to the Runestone or something like that. So we kind of took the kind of structure that like the Alexandria Blizzard did, where they rented the Runestone for the summer and then put on programming. The Warhawks weren't interested in doing that. We've talked to them a few different times too. It's just not in their wheelhouse. So we're just wanting to take that on to give our kids opportunities. It'll help our teams be more competitive, which is great. I mean, our girls went to state, and you can see the excitement that causes. When you have a team go to state like that, I mean, the whole world gets excited. I took all my kids but one were out there either in the pep band or with me, and it was just an exciting time. I mean, I put some pictures on Facebook. I mean, it was just this sea of red. And then there were like 9 people there for Roar Road. So it was just really fun to see our huge band, you know, playing the national anthem. And so we're just excited to try to keep that kind of momentum going, keep building on that.
It would be even better if we had knocked them off.
Yeah, it would have been. When you're playing if you're playing Roar Road in hockey, it's kind of a David and Goliath story every time. I mean, they're just such a juggernaut.
Yep.
There's never been a U.S. Olympic hockey team in history that hasn't had a player from Roar Road on it.
I didn't ever know that stat.
Ever. So, I mean, just even to get and play on the same ice with Roar Road and be competitive, and we were very competitive, is a feat for Wilmer hockey. So we're proud of the girls for that, because that was something, because they're intense. Okay. So I don't know if you have any questions or... I didn't bring my copy of my proposal, but I've got a list of my proposal of all the groups we're already in contact with and that we're partnering with, because we're really not trying to, we're trying to include as much as we can. Because what we want to see is we want Rob to be impressed with how there's people out there all the time, that's busy. We've actually got what I would almost consider a competitive program. It's called A110 Athletics, and he's out of Monticello, and he's going to come do a program during the day, which is great. We love the daytime ice getting used, because for the most part, it's hard to get kids out there during the day. Our program is pretty much volunteer-based, so it's hard for us to get people out there because we're not paying a coach to be out there, whereas A110 Athletics will hire coaches to come out. I know they're getting a coach from Redwood Falls. One of their high school coaches is coming out. So their program's more expensive. It's a little more tailored, but we're happy to have them, because I don't think we have to compete. I think there's just room for... There's plenty of hockey players to go around. There's plenty of money in sports to go around. So I think we'll be all right with everybody being out there. So, yeah, it's been good.
Good, thank you. I mean, just from my own perspective, any time that you can do something that will fill a building more days and get more usage and more programming out of a building, the better. But it's always good to dot your I's and cross your T's. And I also agree with Jason 100% that in terms of competitive sports, time away from the ice does not benefit the players.
Right.
You know, if they can, if they come off of a season, but if they can jump back into it and get a refresher during the summer, that does wonders in putting them ahead of the game, pun intended, before the next season. And I've seen it in even the little guys.
Makes a
world of difference. And so I think there's an exciting hockey future coming up here in the foreseeable number of years coming up. So
we've got, I've got Laura Larson, I don't know if you know her, she's my recruitment director, we call her. She actually found us a goalie coach, and this woman is phenomenal. She played high school, college, she did about 10 years on a national team, and then she did about 8 years of pro. She said, I had to quit because I had my third child. She won a national championship in 2010, 5 months pregnant. And she was talking to Laura saying, I want to come out and do some goalie training because I have two little goalies. Wow. And so she's going to be out here every Saturday morning all summer training goalies with West Central Hockey. I mean, we're just, she called and she said, that she said, can I rent ice? I said, well, yeah, you can rent ice. But I said, what I'd rather do is I'll do all the work. I'll put your registration up. I'll find the goalies. I'll get them out there. You just come teach. And she's like, well, that sounds great, because she's a homeschool mom with three kids. So she didn't necessarily want to do, you know, hours of legwork that I already have it set in place. So I can just pop it out there and say, goalies, come one, come all, and then have them show up. So we'll be launching that in about a week or so. So there's a lot of great stuff that can happen for Wilmer Hockey in the summer. And Andrew's right. I mean, we can accelerate our competition up just even from a few hours in the summer. If you go out there any night starting mid-June to mid-August, if you go out there from Sunday through Thursday night, there'll be someone there from 4:30 till 9:30 every night. It'll be solid kids the whole way. Just booked solid through. There'll be Zamboni breaks and that's it.
And then I just get impressed by just thinking of the trickle-down effect. But this doesn't happen without fabulous volunteers like you guys, and I'm not sure what they're paying you.
You said the word, right?
Right. Volunteer. I know. But thank you. I mean, this is exciting.
It is exciting, and hockey's one of those things. It's actually something I talk with Matt a lot about. When you have a community, there's things you want to have. You want to have a good public school system. You want to have some private school options. You want to have hockey. You want to have basketball. You want to have baseball. You want to have people who want to come start businesses here. And what if they're a hockey guy, or what if they're a whatever, you know, you want to make sure that family, they can plug into that. So we want this community to be something that stays strong, and this is a huge part of it, to be competitive, is to have easy, because I never went, and you're probably in the same boat. You probably wouldn't take your kids to St. Cloud to play hockey.
No, I mean, I know people around the region, they go to, well, it's the same as it is for dance. People will literally move to Sartell to have their girls in dance at Sartell. And people will choose communities based on extracurriculars as well as other, you know, that'll weigh highly up there just along with their job choice.
Yep, it will.
And so it's a big thing.
And I was one that took kids to Hutchinson and St. Cloud and Alexandria. And
wouldn't have been nice to be
right
at the, at
I
the
wish
Civic
this
Center.
Was 5 years ago.
I know. Well, me too, because I have a 10-year-old girl, so she's going to reap the benefits of all this. But I have a high school boy that I would have killed to have been able to come out and take 2 hours and go to a hockey practice a couple times a week rather than 5 or 6 hours to go and St. Cloud. We just weren't going to do that.
Three times a week or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. So.
And plus, we're not out on the road, safety, driving, all of it.
Well, we used to have our high school coaches, you know, trying to organize their high school teams to go wherever, you know. In the early spring, you can go to Benson, but otherwise you're at the Mac in St. Cloud. You're at maybe the Runestone. So, I mean, now we can have our high school coaches, they can do morning practices for a couple hours because doesn't interfere with their jobs as much, and because they don't have to have the 2.5 hours of driving as part of a hockey practice anymore.
Well, it seems like there's plenty of benefits. You know, the only consideration is the cost. And I guess the financial impact sort of says it all. Any highlights to go along with the financial aspects of what's been worked out?
No, I think these are estimated. They know that. You know, the city's going to be covered with the utilities and the part-time staffing costs that will happen. So the city's covered.
Yeah. And at West Central Hockey, I mean, we want Rob to be satisfied with how the utility are satisfied, because we want ice year after year. And so we want to work with them. So if next year we have the opportunity to do ice again, you know, we want to say, you know, is the council, and are you happy, or do we need to change something? Because, you know, it'd be, even if it's $3,000 more than next year, it'd still be worth it for us. We'll just adjust pricing slightly because it's such a huge benefit to our players and our families to have it here that it's worth, you know, it's worth the work to put into it to do it, because it does, it's just so much better than, like you said, driving all over and chasing around. And really, you eliminate a lot of people. I don't know how many families said, you know, we weren't going to do anything. This was last summer. We weren't going to do anything, but then this happened. So now we are.
Right. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did for the first time in ever, too. And, you know, I have a competitive high school player, but it's just too hard with the family schedule to, we just didn't want to make that sacrifice to drive to St. Cloud or the city or wherever, so.
Okay. So are we looking for a motion to adopt the resolution to enter into an agreement with the West Central Hockey for the summer ice agreement?
We are, yeah.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second entering into the agreement as stated. Further discussion? Questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion does pass.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your work.
Yeah, well, thank you.
That's exciting.
We have contact information, both Matt and I, at westcentralhockey.com. You're always welcome to email, call if you have questions. We work well with Rob, so you can send them through him too, but, you know.
And you have Facebook and website, right?
Facebook and website, yep.
And I guess I'll say it too, just for the public record, because the youngins just wrapped up their season with their Cardinal Cup, but the how everybody comes together and how many volunteers, how many moms and dads are there, like, religiously, you know, week after week, and just to help out, take part, and especially when they're running the skills and drills. They have all these different stations set up, and they have so many kids on the ice at once. It takes a lot of organization, and I mean, it's like a machine that's mm-hmm. running, and they keep it really well organized. Shout out to Darren Strand. He does an amazing job.
Yeah, we handed it off to Darren Strand a few years ago, and he's been awesome.
Yeah. And he deserves to be recognized for that, because he puts in a lot of hours, and the kids really look up to him from a leadership perspective as well. So I think that bodes well for all of the kids.
The Cardinal Cup is the little kids' game, and my daughter's team played in that last year and won. And I mean, it was a shootout. I mean, it was just high intensity. When that little 7-year-old girl popped that in, I mean, it was like a wild game. I mean, everybody was just, it was just, I mean, people were on their feet and screaming. It was just insanely fun. So that Cardinal Cup was actually Dawson's idea. He bought that with his own money and brought that out there. And
that's awesome.
So yeah, that was his baby, to keep kind of the, just add that fun competition.
Well, okay, then I'll throw it in there. So my son was on the losing end of that.
Was he?
Last year.
To the purple team?
Yep. And I'm not, was a bummer, but it was such a great lesson in sportsmanship for all of the kids. You got to win well and you got to lose well.
Yeah.
This year, his team won the Cardinal Cup.
There you go.
So they turned it around and they had a good year. But it is amazing to see after that happened. You got the winning team and the losing team, and Darren brings them all together and gives them a solid pep talk about winning good and losing good, and that really brings it home what kind of, you know, small community, rural community can really be like.
Sure.
Because all the parents know each other, the kids are looking up to good leadership figures, and everybody's working together. So
cool.
I really like it.
Yeah,
really like
cool.
It. It's good programming.
Well, thank you for your vote of confidence. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks
your
for being
work.
Here, Jason.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, moving on. Let's go ahead and address the street lighting agreement. Unless, are there other items that Rob's got to tackle? Because Rob, I know you got...
I'm fine.
Is there, just for my knowledge, is there a meeting regarding the local option sales tax?
Yep, it's just finishing up in 10 minutes, and the next one will start at 6:30.
6:30, okay, we're good.
That'll be the Swanson Field one at 6:30.
Okay, you can do this for whatever you want to do. Okay. Let's just go ahead with street lighting then.
Okay.
We'll move through this. Mr. Christensen.
Chair and members of the committee, in front of you is recommended to adopt a resolution that authorizes the mayor and city administrator to enter into the amended and restated agreement for the installation and maintenance of streetlights.
Refresh me why we restated
amended. Well, do you want to do the motion first, and then I will, or?
Yeah, we're looking for an action.
I will make a motion to adopt a resolution authorizing the maintenance city administrator to enter into the amended and restated agreement the installation and maintenance of streetlights.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, please.
Chair and members of the committee, this is
agreement that was first adopted and approved in 2012. It references the street and sidewalk light fixtures, of which there are 208 in downtown Wilmer. They were originally put up in the 1980s. The original agreement references who does the maintenance and how much the maintenance is done. The problem is that the lighting infrastructure has become obsolete. The existing bases and poles are being rusted, concrete being cracked. They generally all need to be replaced. So MUC and the city have worked together on an agreement, amended and restated agreement, that would replace all of these lights. That being said, the city has added our ideas of the potential for adding banners, the potential for adding outlets for lights, and different accessories. So part of this agreement includes a base amount, if you will, to replace exactly what's there with MUC in the neighborhood of $300,000. Anything additional would be city's responsibility. This agreement does not bring up what the design is or any of that. This agreement is just exactly what I said, that we could replace exactly what's there for virtually no cost to the city. But this agreement puts that in place, that if we want additions to those poles, that would be city cost, of which you would see proposals at a later date.
Got it. So as of right now, the financial impact is no.
That's correct. As of right now, the financial impact is all with WMU. That replaces lights exactly like they are now.
And they have agreed to that.
Correct.
With the technological upgrades, correct?
Yep.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I thought we had done an upgrade of the downtown lights, that we had agreed to that back when we were looking at, we had different models, and that we were going to do an upgrade.
Yep, so that's what's prompted this.
Okay, so we're good?
Right, because those models weren't referenced at all.
Okay.
In the old agreement. So we did a new agreement that does reference anything new, which would be those new models or GFI outlets or the different fluted bases or whatever, so you can put different brackets on there.
Is that about a year ago?
But who's responsible to make sure that happens, that they're upgraded?
Well, they are going to be upgraded.
They are.
Because
okay.
It's in their five-year plan, MUC's five-year plan. So they are going to start upgrading.
Well, I know, but we were asking them to do above the standard.
Correct.
And that's in the plan.
That's in this plan.
And okay. That's why they're creating the plan.
And what this says is anything above what their standard base model light is would be city cost. And we did talk about that. MUC wanted us to put this in place before we've got a couple samples actually sitting back in our office. Mm-hmm. That they want to put some sample intersections together, but they wanted this in place first, which is why the delay.
I just was concerned that we do it.
Okay, go ahead, Fernando.
Yep. Thank you. Now, kind of piggybacking on what Audrey said, it was my understanding when we were talking about the lights, that we, because of the new lighting, LED lights, that we could space them differently, and then we were just going to, like, cap spots.
That's a possibility, yep.
Okay. And then, with that being said, then, it sounds like this $300,000 is a basic pole for 208 lights. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, any
estimated cost.
Estimated, yeah, nebulous kind of stuff.
Yep.
Any estimate or feel for what it may cost us above and beyond? I know it's going to be a swag, because it's going to depend on what we want.
Yep. And which is why we've got two choices sitting back in my office right now, and they're going to put up a couple intersections to say, this is what the Washington style would look like. This is what the, you know, XYZ. Unicorn, whatever, right?
Right,
would look like. It will depend on that. However, when Sarah and I were originally putting this together, it did come to about double that amount. Now, we would probably want to back off of that. So the city would be responsible for between $200,000 and $300,000 as well.
Okay.
If we did this full, you know, Cadillac style. Like, Again, that was a year and a half or so ago, so, I mean, and just one choice out of the air.
Question, right. Comment. I really want to stay away because it's easy for us to get drugged down by things like this when it comes to micromanaging and having different preferentials in terms of styles and whatnot. I don't even want to go down that road in terms of having the group decide a style. I think we hire professionals to do this and they need to be the ones in charge of that. My only concern is, and I believe that it was mentioned before, but just confirm or deny or whatever, that the models being looked at are somewhat modular in nature so that things about them can change, attachments can change and stuff like that. So whatever style we end up choosing or whatever, we'll have some adaptability so that we don't have to throw an entirely new make and model. Yeah, make and model of pole if we want to do this or that or this or that.
Yeah, in general, the ones we've looked at are what I would call a fluted style, or that have channels top to bottom in the pole, and then the brackets, for lack of a better way to explain it, go in and quarter turn to lock in place.
So right? There's an accessory system.
Yep, so that you can lock a different bracket in on different sides or heights or whatever on each or any or none of the poles.
So that we don't have to get buried in the weeds by, correct, you know, the next time it comes up if there's going to be an expenditure.
Yep.
Well, I like this style. Well, I like this style. And I don't think that's our place and we don't want to go down that road.
So if we want a bracket that holds some, you know, Christmas decorations, we want a bracket that holds a trash can, we want a bracket that holds
flowers,
you know, flowers, we want a bracket that holds a banner that goes across the street.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of options with these types of poles that we looked at.
I think modularity is like the main thing right there. Yeah. If it's a modular fixture, then we don't have to get caught up in being so worried about it.
Versatility.
Yeah, versatility, not being caught up in these little things.
Right.
Down the road.
Right, and I agree with what you're saying, Chair. That I don't want to micromanage. I like to just have a feel for what.
Oh, sure.
What, because somebody's going to ask.
Absolutely.
And the intent is to put these intersections up with this agreement,
mm-hmm,
so that people can see. And if people ask you, you can say, "Go to 5th and, you know, Becker and see that style of light. Go to 4th and Trot and see that style of light."
I've done that before. You just set them out there, and
yep,
people get a feel when they're going down.
Start gathering comments.
Oh, LEDs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I do kind of feel like, and then Ms. Osmus will be next, but I do feel like a lot of times when that's done, when you give people the option to just comment and weigh in, it becomes apparent the favorite really quickly. Usually, in my experience anyways, it's like you like option A or option B, and option B is like way up here, and so it becomes really clear. But yeah, it's not rocket science. Ms. Osmus.
Okay, but if I understood you correctly, these samples that you have, those are double the cost of just replacing what we have?
No, I can't remember which one is which at this point.
Oh, okay.
One of the options we looked at with had a GFI at the top, I don't know, maybe had a plug-in at the bottom, maybe had a light, you know. We picked a bunch of options, and that one was double. We'll have plenty of options presented to the council.
Okay.
It says it's going to cost us $100,000 more, whatever.
And is there anything in the budget if the cost goes above this $300,000?
Not this year.
Okay.
We would have to plan this for future years, because it's a multi-year conversion for MUC as well.
Okay.
So the conversation will happen is, do we want MUC to do it all now, earlier, rather than 5 years down, you know, over the course of 5 years? And if that's the case, then we'll want to budget for all of it, right? And then MUC end up paying us back that $300,000 or however that works. But that will be budget conversations when we get to that point.
Go ahead, Fernando.
ETA for the models to look at?
A couple months. I don't know. Okay. This summer.
Okay.
The spring, maybe. I don't know. Like I say, we've got just the heads in the back, you know, so you can look at the heads. It doesn't mean much until you see them with the light coming out.
Sure.
But MUC's, I think, ready to start looking at doing that when this agreement's in place.
Okay. I've heard, you know, there's some pushback, where are the lights? That's why I'm asking the question. So
totally.
It would, yeah. So it would be nice to say we're hoping to have them.
Yep. So. You can probably say this spring. I'd love to say it.
Definitively, but
yep. Start.
I understand. Yep.
Correct, for starting.
Yep.
Starting sometime.
And that'll phase in well with as we transition for a pole signal painting that we just approved on Monday, because they'll begin that as well. So we're going to be seeing these changes,
right?
So. On other signals and poles as well. So
that's good. Sure.
Further questions or comments before we vote? Okay, we have a motion and a second to amend and restate the agreement for the installation and maintenance of streetlights with Wilmer Municipal Utilities. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next on the list, if I may.
You may, please.
Is a request for a motion to approve entering into an agreement with Bulletproof Mechanical here in Wilmer for the Public Works Garage Heating and Air Conditioning Project in the amount of $53,025.
All right, we have a request on the table to enter into an agreement with Bulletproof Mechanical for the Public Works Garage Heating and Air Conditioning Systems in the amount of $53,025. What does the committee like to do?
I would like to make a motion to approve entering into agreement with Bulletproof Mechanical Services, Inc. for the Public Works Garage Heating and Air Conditioning Project in the amount of $53,025.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
With a motion and a second. Discussion, questions, concerns?
Mr. Chair, the 2020 Capital Outlay Program includes $60,000 for this project that was approved in the CIP. The new heating units are radiant heat systems that are obviously more efficient and the existing radiant and tube heater systems. There's just some other details about the size of the system. The bottom line is we received two quotes, one from Chapel and one from Bulletproof. The Chapel one was slightly lower, but Bulletproof included all the electrical work while Chapel did not. So the suggestion or the recommendation is to go with Bulletproof all-inclusive system for the $53,025.
Okay, so just so that it's clear, this bid is slightly more, but it includes the electrical, so it's more of a turnkey package contract versus having to contract with an electrician?
That's correct.
Seems to make sense. Further questions from the committee?
And I'm just
go ahead.
Looking down then, so what if Chapel had gotten the bid? What would the electrical have been to subcontract that out?
I should have anticipated that question. I did not.
Okay.
I don't know. I can find out. Actually, I'd have to, if I look through the Chapel, the Bulletproof bid, I might be able to figure it out.
What were the two totals? Do you remember? Just
well, it's $3,000 difference.
Oh, that would have been more than $3,000 worth.
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
Actually, just it just says electrical wiring and control wiring.
Okay. I should be careful saying words like guaranteed, but I am fairly confident that that would be more than $3,000 worth of electrical work.
I am as well. It might be in the five range, but that would be a guess.
Okay. Just wondered if you had looked at that, because I didn't see it. Okay.
Not to mention a single contract is cleaner. Right, Ms. Del Bosque?
Absolutely.
She knows this. Okay, for the comments?
Questions? I was just going to say I like the Bulletproof for continuity. It's cleaner. You know, the process is just going to move ahead. You know, they're not going to have to wait on because they're part of the project. So
yep.
I appreciate that.
Yep, they're both good Wilmer, good solid Wilmer businesses. I like that they are, that the bids were competitive, that we do have two that we can feel confident that we're getting competitive bids. But yes, I like the continuity, and sounds like a good project. When can they get at it?
I don't know that their dates, their bids are good for, Chapel's is good for 90 days. I see the estimate from Bulletproof is only good for 30. So my guess is as soon as you get it approved, they'd be in relatively quickly. Obviously, when they tear all this out, they're going to want to be fairly assured that you're not going to need the heat the next day, so they might wait months. A few weeks anyway.
And Chapel can't come back and say that it wasn't part of the bid process, that they didn't know they should have included the electrical?
No, they've all listed, I mean, you look down through the details and it's clear in there that Bulletproof puts electrical and Chapel says wiring is on you, so.
So that they chose to include that option.
Yeah. So no, I think the quotes were good and I think we're good to go.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second authorizing this agreement with Bulletproof Mechanical for the Public Works Garage. Further discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. On to the motorcycle lease agreement amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some of you may remember years ago, actually it looks like we first received it in 05. In 2010, we amended the lease, and again in 15 to allow the use of a right-of-way, and this is for motorcycle public safety training. And actually, I just went against what I've been doing, right? So the motion I'm looking for is to amend the lease with the State of Minnesota Department of Public Safety for motorcycle skills test course within city right-of-way.
Committee, what would you like to do?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for the discussion.
Now, Mr. Chair, this would allow, or continue to allow rather, the Department of Public Safety to do these motorcycle skills trainings within the public right-of-way, and this is out by MnDOT at the end of Transportation Drive on the north end. And if you're interested, I can show you. Maybe I can get this out of the way, maybe I can't. Okay, end of, towards the end of Civic Center Drive. Civic Center, High School, MnDOT. So they're way out here.
Going towards the pile.
Towards the old windmills, pile. Towards the old pile. There's no through traffic, and it was determined it was a good section of right-of-way that they can use. And it's apparently worked out pretty well because we haven't heard any complaints.
Yeah. With the remodel, didn't they run the road through here?
Yeah, this map, believe it or not, even though we pay every 2 years, is a 14 map.
Okay.
So, and their new map, newer map, was taken on cloudy day. So,
okay.
Sometimes you don't get to see what you want to. So yeah, this one kind of shows where that
road goes. Right. Okay. Where's the classroom for that? Training at the.
I don't know. I assume it's in MnDOT's building.
Okay.
Because they've got a number of classrooms in there.
Okay. Just curious.
My only question is, I think we all know the condition of that, the majority of that street. What's the condition of the end of that street? Probably better because there's not nearly the traffic through.
Well, yes and no.
I mean, is it safe?
Yes.
When I took my test out there, it was safe, but that was a number of years back.
No, it's safe. It would get overlaid or maintained the same as the rest of Transportation Drive. Mm-hmm. The only thing with flexible pavements, it needs traffic. And so sometimes bituminous, if it just sits, fails faster than concrete if it just sits, or bituminous that is used. But in this case, it's still in good shape. It's okay.
I learned so much about streets.
Yeah.
That is not known by very many people, by the way.
Concrete, not cement.
Okay, so do they? Yes, I know. Do they still do classes out at the college?
I don't know where the classes are. I really don't.
Well, they used to have them in the parking lot out there.
Okay. Right, that's where I took mine.
They've contracted with the public schools, I know, and they've done it at Kennedy before.
Yep.
And they've done it at Ridgewater before. Mm-hmm. It kind of depended too because I think the last season they couldn't at Ridgewater because Ridgewater oiled and where they just oil and put aggregate over the exposed oil, so they definitely couldn't be riding motorcycles.
Granite fines or whatever.
Yeah.
Can't tip over. Yeah, those two things are two separate functions.
Oh, are they?
This is for the testing.
Those are classes.
And the ones classes that you see at the Ridgewater, that's a weekend long deal where you do the classroom and then you get on your bike and you drive around for 8 hours and then you take your certificate and you just go get your license. The way I read this, this is more of, if you want to get your license, you go and you get tested out.
This is the driver portion of that.
This is just
the
driver portion.
That's what I did. I didn't take any class. I got my permit, practiced or whatever, and then went and took the test in this location.
Many people can, they just pay $250. They go to a Friday and a Saturday deal.
Yep.
And they get trained, they ride little 250 motorcycles, and when they're done, they don't have to take this test.
Right.
They just go right to the DMV and they get their license.
Mm-hmm. So it's one or the other. And it does say in here, in the details, motorcycle license applicants. So
yeah, yep,
that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the amendment to the lease with the State of Minnesota Department of Public Safety for the motorcycle skills test course within the city right-of-way on the discussed section of street. Further questions, comments, concerns? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. We covered West Central Hockey, so let's move on to the Wilmer Baseball Association advertising agreement. Mr. Baumgarten.
All right, thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Tonight I'm going to ask to adopt a resolution to enter into agreement with the Wilmer Baseball Association for advertising out at Swanson Field baseball and softball complex. If you look at the attachment, I can give you a little history of it, of Swanson Field. Orange is the main baseball field here, and in the past they've been granted permission to have put banners on the front side of Orange and down the line here of the road by the first base sign. What they've been asking now is to be able to put signs onto green and onto the blue side on the first base side. I checked with planning to make sure that everything's in ordinance and everything like that, and Sarah said yes, they're good to go. You know, so a lot of this is now just to make sure that we have a written agreement, because I think in the past maybe some of this wasn't done, and I'd like to have it, you know, more legit that, all right, yes, we have an agreement with them in writing so we can fall back onto it for any future type of events. So it went to the Park and Rec Board, talked about it there. They approved it with their recommendation. I did talk to the group as well, is that this would be a one-year deal going from April 1st to the end of September. Just knowing with all the stuff that's going to happen out there, the advertising might be a different story after the projects are completed. So the proceeds that they would make from there would go back to the softball and baseball teams and the facilities. So we didn't feel like there should be a charge for that then for this year. So,
okay, committee, what would you like to do?
Is it open for discussion, or do we have to make a motion? I'd like to make a motion to approve the a resolution to enter into an agreement with the Wilmer Baseball Association for advertising at Swanson Baseball and Softball Complex for
second.
1 year.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to enter into the agreement. Discussion. Fernando?
Okay. I understand why we're not charging this year, but I think going forward, I think they should have some skin in the game. Just to make sure that it's taken care of and kept looking sharp, and it doesn't come back on us should we not charge. I'm sure it's going to be fine, but it's always nice to have, I think, some sort of fee or something involved so they realize that we've got to take care of this or we might lose it.
I somewhat agree with that. I think, I mean, it is city property, and so we're allowing somebody else to charge to advertise on our property, the city's property or the taxpayer's property.
Correct.
And so there should be some maintenance controls. The question is, do we do that this year, or do we not, because we know that there are projects going to be taking place also. Go ahead, Sadis.
So how is that consistent, like with the Stingers? That's city property.
Warhawks.
A lot of it was when we talked about it, it's because it's dealing with our youth, and the Stingers and the Warhawks are a for profit for their businesses.
Right. But they pay us then to be able to put banners up on the fence?
The Stingers?
Yeah.
It's part of their lease agreement.
Okay.
So yes, and then there is an advertising agreement with the Warhawks that they pay $8,000 a year to have the wall signs, in-ice logos, and the dasher boards.
And I think that consistency is very important, so I thank you for bringing this to us, because I think we do have to maintain consistency when it comes to that, because
but I do
you
see
can't
the difference.
Create double standards.
But they're for profit, and this is
right
to
boosters. You know.
Yeah.
But it's also proper that we address it as such.
Oh, totally. Okay, then the advertising that's on the dugouts.
That, in the agreement too, that belongs to the baseball boosters. For the Baker dugout
yes,
project?
Yes,
yep, that's in the agreement. It would be in, once the dugouts are done, another agreement will come that it will be the
separate baseball. From this one?
Yes,
because okay.
It'll be at Baker.
Okay.
And the Stingers, it's in the Stingers lease agreement too, knowing that they do not have the advertising rights to the dugout.
Right, okay. Yeah. But, okay. So we'll address that when that comes up.
Once the dugouts
whether or not
are,
we're going to charge the boosters for those advertising rights.
Yes.
Okay.
So just a question of mine then, if we are not going to, if we're not going to charge for this year, is there, you know, going along with Mr. Alvarado's idea, you know, and having some skin in the game, keeping it up, keeping it proper, whatnot, is there any language in the agreement regarding, you know, do it right or potentially lose?
Yep, we put those thresholds in there that I have to approve all the signs before they go up.
Okay, good.
They are responsible for all the installation and takedown and any damages to any of the fences that we see deemed responsible on their end.
Okay, so we're not going to have city employees out there messing
nope,
with it.
No, they're 100% in charge of if a banner goes down, they'll get the phone calls. You need to fix it or the grommets come off and it's flopping around. They're solely on them to fix everything.
Well, if you are in charge of it, sir, then I trust it'll be good.
Okay. And I would think that the business whose banner is not visible because it's flapping would also be getting all the boosters. But
yeah. They pretty much got a game out in that area every night of the week, so someone's going to be looking at it.
Yeah.
So. I just want to go on record as that I don't think grommets would ever flop around. So.
Yeah.
Just let me know that.
Noted.
Duly noted. All right, we have a motion and a second to enter into an agreement with the Wilmer Baseball Association for advertising at the Swanson Baseball Softball Complex. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. And finally, invest in Wilmer surveying proposals. Mr. Christensen.
This one's also Rob.
Is this one also you?
See, I didn't even need to be here tonight.
Yeah, you should have sat here. He should have sat there.
All right. Chair's member of the committee tonight, there will be two motions for to have surveying done at the projects for the Invest in Wilmer. One of the projects will be for the recreation event center at the Saren location. That will be done by Sunday Land Surveying for the topographic and boundary surveying. So there will be the one motion. The other motion will be to adopt a resolution to enter into a contract with Bolton and Mink for the surveying for the Invest in Wilmer for the Swanson Field projects of $19,400. We both we got a winter price and a spring price, and we are holding off to do the spring price because it saves about $10,000 on each project.
Cool. That's always a good thing. What would the committee like to do?
I can enter that first motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second adopting the resolution to enter a contract for Sunday Land Surveying for the topographic and boundary survey for the Invest in Wilmer Project Recreation Event Center at the Civic Center location in the amount of $23,075. Further discussion? Go ahead, Mr. Alvarado.
Do we have to stipulate whether it's when it's going to occur or anything? We just assume it's going to be there.
When the proposals came back to us, they had it as a winter price and then a spring price.
Okay.
And they would like to get working on it now, but we've told them that, you know, we'll wait till this is done, and it's probably going to be most likely the spring.
Okay, great.
But if the weather trends continue as they're forecasted.
It basically is because it's all snow covered, they can't.
Right.
it's more work for them to do it through the snow.
Sure.
So,
but yeah. You know, we're all assuming it's going to get 50 this weekend and continue to rise, and spring will be here, right?
Yes, sir.
As long as the committee decides it.
You're the chairman. You can make it happen, right?
See, what we were deciding this committee a year ago was deciding our Second Street snow removal, so.
Yes. Well, and it happened.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. What would you like to do with the second motion?
I could enter that.
Second.
Thank you. We have a second motion. Second motion and a second. Entering into a contract with Bolton & Mink for the topographic and boundary survey for the Invest in Wilmer project for the Swanson Fields project in the amount of $19,400. Discussion. Seeing and hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion also passes. And the only thing we have left to discuss, if there's nothing else on the agenda, would be upcoming schedules.
Did we add that this time, Kelsey?
We don't have a actual page in there for
okay.
it.
So the only thing, Mr. Chair, if I may, is the one course that we pulled from tonight, the tree trimming policy. We'll discuss that in two meetings. That'll be the April 8th meeting.
Okay.
At this time, I don't have anything specific for the second meeting in March. I will be in direct contact with you if we end up with a few things or if we're going to be able to cancel one.
Okay.
Do we have How's to deal fair? With that truck that we...
I thought that went to finance. I thought that was the
I thought that was
Monday
going to
night.
Finance as
well. Well, we're talking about purchasing policy, but...
No, I think it did both.
Did mm-hmm. both?
To tomorrow,
both
so I think
there?
Tomorrow night you'll get to talk about both of those.
I'll be there, yeah.
No, but are we going to make the decision on the truck? Are we making decision on the purchasing policy?
I looked at it as if we decide on the policy, that will decide how we do the truck.
Got it. Okay, thank
so
you.
So we have both.
But,
I just
want to
make sure it was done, that's all.
At the same time, knowing full well that many things that come to the committee the first time,
yep.
work
okay.
it through and we come back to the committee the second time, so the truck is going to be delayed.
Okay. Got it.
I'm guessing I'm going to have one or two things.
For 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So park Sales. Signage would be one, so we can get some
That's
closure
fine.
On that one.
Yep.
Also, stack it then.
It's currently scheduled, and so the only reason we'd cancel it is if, you know, let's see, next week, towards the end of next week, if we don't have anything, then we'd cancel.
All that I care is that we don't have a meeting with, like, one item that
Correct.
Isn't important. It's like if either we, if we need to meet, then let's go ahead and fill it up with as much
yep.
stuff as we can.
Yep.
Otherwise, let's not meet.
Typically, what we've done, just for everybody's reference in that situation, is if there's one item that's a little time sensitive,
yep.
we'll finance and I work together pretty well. And so, you know, if it's one item, we can push it to his if he already has a meeting, and vice versa. I did that a lot with. When Bruce was here with community development
yep.
as well. So
I think that works well.
If one of us would have one item, we would regularly take that item because it's half the council and it's still a recommendation and it seemed to work out pretty well.
Cool.
Crack ceiling bid award.
Crack ceiling bid award will be next time as well. So we will have a few items.
We'll have a few items. Okay, so everybody just plan on meeting.
We just opened them this week, that's right.
Any
ceiling is cracked. Oh, we talking roads again.
Ceiling and
any other,
yeah.
Any other pending items that any committee members have concerns on that they would like to have addressed at the next meeting?
I was approached by a local businessman who's got a 3D scanner, and he would like to get into the, and maybe this is not the right group, he would like to get into the war room and scan the war room with this 3D scanner. Yeah, it's an amazing piece of equipment. It's like a $28,000 scanner.
2 seconds. Rob, if you need to go.
No, are you talking about the War Memorial?
Right.
I'd say send that person to...
Yeah,
yeah, Brian or me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it needs to go to committee. I think we...
Okay.
We can Kelsey's got the locks. Yeah. We got the control for the building. I think we're...
Okay.
We can just deal with
okay.
that.
Okay, good.
I don't think it needs to... go through the whole thing of
okay.
I mean, it's public use.
Right, right. Well, and yeah, I so. Okay. That's good.
My opinion.
Okay. Well, it was brought up to me, and it's cool. He wants to do it. I could help him with it. It would be something to memorialize it, and I don't know how big he could do his thing, but it would be a cool thing. And
super cool.
Yeah. So okay, I just wanted to bring it up. Thank you.
Any other concerns? Otherwise, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.